Well, we've been talking about getting to the other side. And, you know, it's interesting that there's always something for us on the other side. It always costs us something to get to the other side. There's always, there's a price and there's circumstances we have to go through. How many of you know if we, like, if I was going to try to go from downtown Pensacola over to Pensacola Beach and I only had the water, there's going to have to be something that's going to get me across. Even if it's my own strength, which I would never attempt to swim that would be crazy. But my point is there's a ferry, there's a boat, there's something that's going to take me across. And if I can't, then there's a bridge that I can put my car on, thank God now, that will take me across, right? To the other side. And God has an other side for every one of us because there's always a promise waiting for us on the other side. And many of you know my story. It's interesting that this month, in the month of October, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So that's an important month to me because I'm a survivor of breast cancer. I'm a healed person from breast cancer. And I'm grateful to have hair today and not be in chemo right now. But there's just so many things that God has brought me through. And in the last 2 years, I've had 5 surgeries. And I started counting back. The last one was just not too long ago, August, right? August 27th. And it was my 5th one. And I'm like, all right, God. So when I went in to see my surgeon and I show up for my pre-op appointment. Who in here has ever had a procedure or a surgery of any kind? Thank God for doctors. Hallelujah. Bless them. So I went in and the nurse comes in with a packet of papers about this thick. And she's like, all right, we're going to run through these because you just got to sign all these. You got to sign here and you got to consent here and you got to give permission here. And, you know, you never, I don't, some of you, if you're like really a detail person, you may like read every detail. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Just where do you want me to sign? Where do you want me to initial? And they will quickly tell me, this is just, you're giving consent for this. This one is saying you're giving consent for this. This one is saying you're giving consent for this. And so in order for me to be able to have that surgery, in order for me to be able to have that procedure, I have to give permission for that surgeon to do that surgery. And so the very first surgery I ever had, and I'll be as non-graphic as I can, but I have a double mastectomy. And so that was not a surgery that I wanted to have. That was not a surgery that I was looking forward to, like, oh, this is going to be so great when this is over. I was like, this is going to be so horrible when this is over. But in order for me to survive, I had to consent to that surgery. Now, yes, I do trust God and He is the healer, but I felt like God told me to do that. Okay? So when I had a consent, what that means is, let me put it in churchy terms for you. I had to surrender myself to the surgeon. I had to surrender myself in order to survive. I had to surrender myself to say, I don't even know this person. I don't know anything about them except what I've read on a little blurb on the website. I've met with this surgeon one time, and I am going to consent my life for them to put me in an unconscious state and let her cut on me or him cut on me and do whatever it is they want to do in order to cut out the thing that is killing me. I had to give consent. Sometimes you have to surrender yourself to get to the other side. It doesn't feel good. Listen, I'm a control freak, y'all. And if you've ever heard me speak, you know I have a control issue with everyone except Tim Fox. I have a control issue. I won't tell you the look on his face right now. He's like, have the altar call now, baby. Do it now. But the truth is, because I'm such a control person, I won't even learn to scuba dive, y'all. I'm like, I can't go underwater and let something else breathe for me. That's just not happening. I don't care how pretty the fish are. And so for me to consent five times in the last 2 years and sign my name, my life, and one of those things I have to sign is a DNR. If something happens during this process, will you resuscitate me? I don't get to make that decision because I'm not conscious. There's so many things that we give away, that we surrender in situations that we know are vital for us. And our walk with the Lord is no different than that. And today, I'm going to title this message, The Other Side of Surrender. Because there are things on the other side of when I choose to surrender. And you have to surrender sometimes to get to the other side. Listen, there's hope on the other side of surrender. There's faith on the other side of surrender. There's life on the other side of surrender. There's freedom. There's healing. There's joy. There's restoration. There's reconciliation. But guess who has to surrender? Me. Just go ahead and point to yourself. Let's just go ahead and talk about you today. Talk to you about you. I'm going to let God talk to you about you. And God's going to talk to me about me. Because I'm the one who has to make the decision to surrender. They don't call in my husband and ask him to sign my consent forms. They don't call in my friends or even my mom to do my consent forms. I have to sign my own surrender to the surgeon. It's my decision. And in order for us to get on the other side, we're going to see what surrender produces. Now, the definition of surrender, and I don't always read definitions, but it says it's to yield to the power, control, or possession of another upon compulsion or demand. To give up completely or agree to forego, especially in favor of another. To give of oneself, to give oneself over to something. That's what surrender is. That's what surrender is. And surrender in this text that we're going to talk about today is an action word. It's a verb. That means that it requires action. It requires something of us. I have to surrender. I have to surrender. It's so quiet. This is really not a happy topic, is it? Everybody's like, where is she going? Where is she going? Where is she going? God, I'm not ready to surrender. It's an action word. We live in a generation, and I'm one of them, I mean an older generation, that doesn't like to be told what to do. I'm telling you, watch the news. Nobody wants to be told what to do. I'm not getting that vaccine if they tell me to get it. I am getting it if they tell me to get it. I'm just picking the hottest topic right now. But there's a lot of things, and especially in our beautiful nation of the United States of America, we do not like to be told what to do. We are a free people. We are a democracy. We get to decide. I get to choose. Nobody can make me. It's my choice. It's my body. It's my situation. It's me, 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 me. Guess what surrender requires? Me. And surrender ultimately is a battle term, right? It implies giving up the rights to the conqueror. Because when an opposing army surrenders, they lay down their weapons and the winners take control from then on. How many of you have ever tried to win on your own and it's not working out for you? I want to surrender to the conqueror today so that I can conquer. If you have kids, you understand this battle. If you have children, you understand the battle of surrender. So, you know, we talk about Sophia a lot. We never talk about Jasmine because she was a perfect child and she's awesome. Literally, we could just like look at her and she would be like, Sophia, I can look at her 10 times and she's like, what are you looking at? I'm like, I am looking at you. I am, you know. And what I found is we have a very strong-willed child. There's an amazing book written called The Strong-Willed Child. If you have a strong-willed child by Dr. James Dobson, I recommend you read that book. I have read it. I don't know where she came from. I don't know where she got that from. I don't know where, probably from her dad. It's definitely, he is very strong-willed. But if you have kids, you're going to be like, listen, pay attention, obey, all these things. And here's what we find. We have strong-willed children. We don't have surrendered children. Guess what God has? Strong-willed children. And God wants us to be surrendered children. We need to go from strong-willed to surrendered. Surrender doesn't mean weak. Surrender doesn't mean somebody can run over you. Surrender doesn't mean any of that. When I'm trying to discipline my beautiful, amazing, talented, gifted, high-strung, hyperactive, never stops talking 9-year-old, I don't want to run over her. I don't want to be condescending to her. I don't want to make her feel less than when I'm getting on to her. I am trying to make something in her. I'm trying to build something on the inside of her. I want to take that strong will and I want to channel it so that God can use it for his glory. But in order for that to happen, it's going to require some moments where she surrenders. And surrender can come easy, or surrender can come with a battle. And sometimes both. God is looking for us to be surrendered children. Listen, and I'm going to go to this text really quick, but Jesus, even the Son of God, had to surrender. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Because the purpose for Jesus on the other side was so much greater. For you and for us, right? For you and me. Even the Son of God had to choose to surrender. Look with me in Luke 22. And there's an account of this story in all the Gospels. But I'm going to read out of Luke today in verse 39. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." Now, I want you to pay attention to the first phrase there. It says, Jesus went out as usual. To do what? To pray. That means if he says he went there as usual, that means he had been there many times before. That means that was a habit in his life, to go to the place and pray, to go to a place and get in the face of God before a big situation, decision, circumstance that was facing him. You and I need to have a regular place of prayer. It needs to be a habit in your life. God should know you're going to show up in the usual place with him every day. Now, you think, well, Jesus was God. Why did he have to go pray? Because he took on flesh. And because he was human. And although he did not have sin, and he's the only one who never had sin, and even though he was a Son of God, he was walking around this earth in the suit of humanity. And humanity was weighing upon him. And so Jesus had to take his flesh to prayer. So if Jesus had to take his flesh to prayer, then you and I need to take our flesh to prayer. Because it's the thing that when we understand, oh my goodness, this thing is weighing so heavy on me. I can't take it anymore. I can't do it anymore. I can't deal with it anymore. I can't handle anymore. And yet we will choose to not go and pray, but we will fill our flesh with everything else that makes us feel better. And God is saying, hey, I need you to take your flesh to prayer. Flesh is a nice word. I'm using a nice word. Take your flesh to prayer. We got to do that. Jesus knew in order for him to come to the place of surrender and get to the other side of the cross, it required this moment of surrender. The moment in the garden where he surrendered was what had to happen before he ever went to the cross. And sometimes what we're wanting is God to get us to a place, and you're like, God, if I surrender, it's all going to be easy. No, there's still the cross, because you have to surrender to the things that God has given you. Will you bring that up here, Derek? Will you bring that table over here? So look in verse 41. It says, he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. That wasn't very far away. Somebody had to really be paying attention when they wrote this, like a stone's throw away. He knelt down and he prayed. And he said, Father, if you are willing. Thank you so much. Thank you for not breaking any of my Raidan cups. I'm very happy about that. If you are willing, take this cup from me. Now, Jesus taking his humanity and his flesh to the Father, knowing what was coming, knowing what was ahead, knowing what God said in the assignment over his life, and he still went and said, Father, if you're willing, could you take this cup from me? Now, I have my little Minnie Mouse cup here. Tim talked really bad about my Raidan cups a couple weeks ago, so I felt the Holy Spirit gave me this opportunity to bring them. This is not all of them. That is his issue, but it's okay. All right. But we have this little cup, and God asks us to surrender something. And usually it's something we don't want to drink. It's just this little bit of selfishness. It's just, well, you don't understand. You don't understand my situation. And my cup is so much worse than her cup. You don't understand what I have to drink. You don't understand what I have to surrender to. Listen, every one of us in here, you have your own cup. You have your own cup. And the word cup in the Greek actually means an experience. So when Jesus was asking the Father, if you're willing, will you take this cup from me? He was saying, could we not do the experience this way? Could we do it an easier way, God? Is there a different way? Is there another way? If there was any other way, God. And every one of us has our own cup. The cup that Jesus had, he knew what he had to suffer and what he had to surrender on the cross. Even Jesus questioned his surrender. But every one of us has our own cup. And let me tell you, what you have to drink in your cup of surrender is what is a portion of getting you to your purpose. Now, if you don't want to get to any purpose and you just want to live life with no purpose, no passion, no nothing, then you don't have to drink anything. I say just stay in your life, stay in your mess, stay in the place where you are. And hopefully we will see you in heaven. But God said that you and I have a purpose when we walk around on this earth. Every one of you have an assignment. So if you have an assignment and you have a destiny from God, then you have a cup to drink. You have a cup of surrender that God has given to you. And it's your cup. It's not my cup. It's not her cup. It's not his cup. It's not your husband's cup. It's not your wife's cup. It's not your mama's cup. It's not your kid's cup. It's your cup. It's not your neighbor's cup. It's your cup. Say, it's my cup. Everybody in here, you have your own cup. And we are so good at measuring up to what's in everybody else's cup. Well, you need to do this. And, you know, if he would do that, then I could surrender this. Their cup is not your responsibility. It's my cup. Tim and I have this conversation on a regular basis. We've been married for 29 years. And so, praise the good Lord, honey. 29 years of bliss. It's funny, we heard recently from a pastor that actually pastored my mom. And it was he and his wife's 43rd anniversary. And she wrote him a card and said, thank you for 40 great years of marriage. And he's like, honey, we've been married for 43. And she's like, yeah, but three of them were not great. Listen, he and I are really good at saying, you need to do this. Tim and I are both really strong personalities. I don't know if you noticed that. And so when we have an argument, at some point we just agree to disagree and then we go to dinner. It's just weird. But, you know, I mean, at some point it's just like, rah! And it's like, well, I'm right. And he says, well, I'm right. And I'm like, okay, well, let's figure out what we're eating for dinner because I'm done with this conversation. But we each have our own cup. And in order for me to surrender in my marriage, I can't wait for Tim to drink his cup. I have to drink mine. And Tim can't wait around for me to come to my senses and drink my cup, which happens a lot. He has to drink his. Because the cup that's in front of you, the cup that was in front of Jesus, nobody else could drink for him. Nobody else could take that cup for him. Say, it's my cup. Greater things are to come. There's a Goliath on the other side if you will surrender. Laying on the ground. How many of you have ever had, I was actually going to bring some up here today, but I'm not really a health food junkie. Where's my friend Karina Miller? Bless my sister Karina. She does all things healthy. That's why she's so healthy. She's, I don't know, we'll talk about all of her accolades later. But she will, especially after I've had my surgery, she will show up with some really tall thing from Everman's that's really green for me to drink. And I'm like, what's in it? It doesn't matter. Just drink it. It's good for you. Just drink it. I'm like, well, what's in it? Just drink it. It's good for you. And then later I find out it has wheatgrass and I don't know what all's in it, you know? And I'm just like, right? But sometimes we have to recognize, even if what's in the cup we don't want to drink, even if it doesn't seem like it's good, we've got to surrender it. We've got to surrender. Some of you need to surrender that ungodly relationship. You need to surrender gossip. You need to surrender bitterness. You need to surrender unforgiveness. It's your cup. So the first thing I would say to you is that surrender is a choice to drink your own cup. The second thing I'm going to tell you is that surrender has to be constant. Surrender has to be constant. God didn't just call you to a moment of surrender. He called us to a lifetime of surrender. See, if it was just a moment that I could just drink my little Minnie Mouse cup and then I'm good to go for the rest of my life. That's not how it works with Jesus. And it's really hard because you'll look at him and say, God, I already did that. I just surrendered that thing last week. I just did it. And now you're giving me a bigger cup in front of me to surrender. Surrender is constant. Look with me in Job chapter 11, verse 13. It says this, surrender, I know this is a different version, but it says, surrender your heart to God. Turn to him in prayer and give up your sins, even those you do in secret. Then you won't be ashamed. You will be confident and fearless. Your troubles will go away like water beneath a bridge. Your darkest night will be brighter than noon. You will rest safe and secure. You will be filled with hope and emptied of worry. And you will sleep without fear and you will be greatly respected. Just take those eight things and ask me if surrender's worth it. If anybody knows about surrender, it was Job. Listen, it says surrender to him, pray, and get rid of your sin. And then these eight things are going to happen for you. I don't know about you, but right now I need some light in the darkness. Right now we need our hope, our hearts filled with hope and emptied of worry. You need to sleep without fear. We need respect to come back because we are individuals and people that God's created. Listen, it's constant surrender. Constant surrender. So even though I surrender this little bitty thing, like not going to Disney, maybe that's the one thing I surrender. I'm using something trivial on purpose. Because that's a privilege. But we think even when we have to surrender a privilege, it's the end of the world. And God's like, I need you to surrender. I love all my cups, and I probably should have called Karina for some of hers. This one says, wifey, sometimes I need to surrender as a wife. I need to surrender as a husband. I need to surrender my selfishness. I need to surrender that thing. I need to surrender whatever it is that's getting in the way of my marriage going to the next level. I need to become the wife that God's told me to be. I need to drink this cup. I need to drink this cup. One of my favorites, like a boss. Some of you need to surrender because your job is more important than Jesus right now. Some of us, we need to surrender where I think I know better than God, or I know better than everybody else around me. It's called pride. And there are things that we have to surrender. Maybe this is the cup right now. That's the next cup that God wants you to drink. Maybe it's dreams. Well, dreams are from God. Well, if they align with his word and they align with your assignment and they align with what he said and not just our feelings and emotions and our selfish desires and greed. Sometimes we need to say, God, I need to surrender my dreams for your dreams. And ultimately, when you do that, his dreams are always better. But what is it? What is it for you? Is it something that you have a dream of having all this money and being rich and being whatever that you feel like is going to fulfill that void in you? And God's like, no, that's not the dream I have for you. I got to drink. I'm going to. We got to drink the next cup. Mom's favorite. My girls, if they're at the house, fight over this cup. How many of you know we want to be the favorite? Sometimes we need to drink the cup of comparison, and I'm better than you, and you're better than me, I need to surrender that thing where I always feel less than. I feel second choice. You're not second choice. God made you. We got to drink the cup. What is it that you need to drink in order to survive? What is it that you need to drink to be a survivor? What do you have to surrender to survive on the other side? Not just to survive, but to thrive. See, surrender is constant. Surrender is something that is ongoing. If you've ever been in any relationship of any kind, you know that surrender is constant. Always. It's your ways, not my ways, God. Here's the next words that he said. It's the best line in this whole passage of Luke 22. Because it said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. And then what did he say? Yet not my will, but your will. King James, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That's part of your constant surrender, because it has to now not be about my will. It has to be about his will. It's no longer about my agenda. It's about his agenda. It's no longer about my plan. It's about his plan. It's no longer what I see. It's what he sees. It's no longer what I think is going to happen. It's what he said is going to happen. That's getting on the other side. See, then you start seeing the other side, because his will is what's on the other side. And we get stuck because it's my will. My will is all I see right here. My will, my will, my will, my will, my will. And God's like, if you will surrender, you will see my will. And it requires us to use an element of faith that says we're going to speak those things that are not as though they are. That means I can't see it yet, God, but not my will, but yours. Not my will, God, but yours. If Jesus said it, we should be saying it. What does that mean? That Jesus was asking him, can I just not have to surrender to this? Can I just not do this? But at the end of the day, it's not my will, God, even though I'm asking you for it. It's not my will. It's your will, Father. It's your will. I don't want to have to drink that cup, but it's not about what I want to do. I want to do it my way. Are there any my wayers in here? Anybody? Nobody raised their hand. Oh, yeah. Just kidding. I want it my way. And God's like, well, your way isn't going to work. Romans 7 says this in verse 14. This was Paul, and he said, I can anticipate the response that is coming. I know that all God's commands are spiritual, but I'm not. Isn't this also your experience? Yes. Everybody shout yes. I am full of myself. After all, I've spent a long time in sin's prison. And what I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, and doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary in my life. Not my will, but your will. Whatever I want to do, I don't do. Whatever I'm supposed to do, I don't do. Whatever I don't do, I should do. I can't solve all that for myself. I will make a mess. So therefore, God's will is necessary. It's necessary for us. In Matthew 6:10, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Guess how God's going to get heaven to earth? Through our surrender. That's the other side. Getting heaven to earth until we get to heaven for all eternity. It says that in order for God's will to be done, it has to be done on earth as it is in heaven. You and I are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are the living, breathing, created vessels that are walking around on this earth. And we have a purpose to bring heaven to earth. And that comes through your surrender. Because if you're not surrendered, heaven can't get through you to earth because you're too busy being like the earth. Tim's coming back. It's going to be super sweet next week. Listen, I'm going to say something maybe a little bit controversial. Is it possible to be saved but not fully surrendered? Yes. Well, I surrendered when I got saved. Yes, you surrendered to the rescuer. You surrendered to the Savior. That's the best decision we've ever made. But now there's a constant surrender that has to keep happening because now I have to surrender out of obedience, moment to moment, day to day, situation to situation, relationship to relationship. And let me tell you something. When you surrender, and all of a sudden, heaven starts coming to earth in your life, and heaven starts showing up in your relationships, and heaven starts showing up everywhere you walk, at work, at school, and in whatever the circumstance, in your physical body. All of a sudden, heaven, God's will, starts coming down to earth through you. Guess what? Surrender leads to supernatural. Surrender will lead to the supernatural. How do I know this? In verse 43 of Luke 22, right after Jesus says, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. And immediately in verse 43, it says, an angel from heaven appeared to strengthen him. All of a sudden, the supernatural showed up to strengthen Jesus for the surrender moment. Listen, as soon as you surrender, you open up the supernatural. You surrender, you're setting yourself up for the miraculous in your life. Listen, when I walked through this journey of cancer and all of that, every time I surrendered, the Holy Spirit would have to show up when nobody else was in the room, when it was at night where nobody else was around, where the devil was playing mind games with me. I needed the supernatural. I needed an angel. I needed the Holy Spirit to show up in my room and begin to minister life and strengthen me. Because many times we'll make the choice to surrender, but then we can't see it all the way through because we're not seeking the God of the supernatural to come that's above our natural ability to surrender. See, Jesus didn't have the natural ability to surrender and go to the cross. It had to become supernatural. And then it says, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he found them, he went back and found the disciples. He found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. That's a whole nother message. And he said, why are you sleeping? He asked them, get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Listen, this is the place we have to surrender our stress, our emotions, and your mental battle and anxiety. I speak to that today right now. Come on, if that's you right now and you struggle just with mind games from the enemy, you struggle with anxiety, depression, some mental stress, that's what Jesus was dealing with right there in the garden. I want you to raise both your hands right now. God, I declare right now and I speak to every person in this room, God, that is struggling with mental anguish, that is struggling with the worry and the stress of life and the anxiety and the depression that is such a lie of the enemy that he tries to bring on us and lock us up in this prison in our mind. God, I pray for the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to come on their minds right now in Jesus' name. I declare peace and freedom and strength and sanity, and I come against confusion and fear in Jesus' name. And loneliness, I curse loneliness in the name of Jesus. And God, we just declare that you are the Lord of our minds. Because not just are your ways higher than our ways, but your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We declare that right now in Jesus' name. Sometimes we just have to invite the supernatural power of Jesus into our situation instead of choosing to live with it. What does that mean? I'm just going to be praying all day long about stuff? Yes! That's awesome! That means every time that thing comes in my mind, I'm going to stop and I'm going to start coming against that thing and I'm going to speak those things that are not as though they are. I am not lonely. I am not depressed. I am not anxious. I will not worry. I am full of hope. I am full of life. I am full of peace. These are strategies for you to use in your life. These are not things that's just like, oh, well, that was nice what the Bible says, that I have the mind of Christ and da 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 da. You got to get desperate for what is killing you. You got to get desperate for the thing that is trying to destroy you. You got to get desperate for the Holy Spirit to come in the middle of it and show up and turn it around. That's getting to the other side. I'm not going to stay over here. I'm going over there where it's peaceful. I'm not going to stay in this mental drama in my head. I'm going to get out of that. I'm going to go be where it's a drama-free zone with the Holy Spirit. That's how we have to live. That's how we have to walk. And when you surrender to God, then you are opening up more and more opportunities for the supernatural to show up in your life. The last thing I want to say, and I'm way out of time. Oh, my gracious. We have to surrender God's way, not our way. see the cup that I think is in front of me to drink? And I have this cup and I've asked God to take it. And he's like, no, baby, you got to drink it. Every time I've walked through something difficult, Tim and I have walked through a lot of difficulties not being able to have a baby. We went through a lawsuit that put us in debt for $250,000 that we just in the last year were able to get on the other side of that. I've had to walk through physical things and cancer and loss in my life and losing my dad prematurely that I wanted him to still be here and him doing all the work instead of me and Tim doing all the work right now. And I just, all these things, and I'm like, hey, why is this happening? Why am I walking through this? Why, God, can't you do it any other way? And he says, no, this is my way. The scars are necessary, Angela. The cup was necessary. But God, what if I don't get on the other side? He's like, if you'll do it with me, you will always get to the other side. Does that mean it's going to look the way I want it to look? Does it mean that the ending's going to be how I choose for the ending to be? No, it's his life anyway. Your life is his destiny and creation anyway. So every step we take and everything, it becomes this constant surrender. And we're opening up the supernatural. And then we have to say, God, you know, see, my idea of surrender is always what I want to do. Always, always, always. God, I feel like surrender is going to work out like this. I'm going to end with this story. I'm not really... Hopefully my oncologist isn't watching. I'm not really a believer in chemotherapy. And I did not want to do chemo. I shouldn't say I'm not a believer. I'm going to back up that truck. I didn't want to have chemotherapy for me. I did not want it. I did not believe in it for me. I had already made up my mind. I told my family. I told my husband. I told my mom. I told everybody I am not doing chemo, even though after that first surgery, the cancer had all gone to my lymph nodes. And so then I was headed towards stage 4 cancer in my body. And they're like, you know, this, it's not an option. You have to do chemo. I said, everything is an option. And I go in my little faith. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to trust God. And I don't have to listen to a doctor and all of this. And my husband, Tim, looked at me and he was like, have you asked God if he wants you to do that? I was like, I don't need to ask God. God is the healer. I don't need to ask him. He already told me what I need to do. I already know. He's like, well, he didn't tell you if you haven't asked him. So sweet. But the truth is, we want to surrender our way, even if our way seems really good. Because see, my way felt like faith. My way felt like the right thing. So the night before I was supposed to start my chemo, which I was not planning to attend, I got in my car right over here on the side. It was a Sunday night. And it was odd because Sophie had gone with Tim, and usually she's in my car, and I was by myself in my car. And before I pulled out, I just sat there and I said, all right, God, here's the moment. I'm going to do what Tim, I'm going to ask you, do I have to do this? Do I have to do chemo? Because I already know the answer, so if you'll just tell me, it'll all be over with. You can just tell me right now and just say, no, honey, you don't have to do that. And it's going to be awesome, and you're going to heal me. It's going to be great. And just as clear as if God was sitting in a tangible person in my passenger seat, this loud, he said to me, you're not getting off that easy. I was like, excuse me? What? I know you're not talking to me like that, God, right? He said, you're not getting off that easy. I'm like, what does that mean? Why are you punishing me? He said, I'm not punishing you. He said, it will take you more faith to go through that process than to just believe me to heal you. That was the cup that I had to drink. that was my cup. I had to make that choice to surrender something that I didn't want to surrender. It wasn't about a lack of faith. It was about God building something in me that had to happen. It was about a place of surrender and me coming to a place where I said, God, isn't there another way? Aren't you the healer, God? Can't you heal me? Can't you just do that? I know you can. And God's like, yeah, I can, but you got to go through the process. But I didn't go through the process my way. I went through it his way. And God was gracious to me because I surrendered. I never got sick. I never lost weight, unfortunately. None of the things that normally go hand in hand. I mean, I lost some things. But at the end of the day, God built something in me, and out of that surrendered place, I became a different person to set me up for the season I'm walking in now. And I wouldn't have been ready. See, there's importance to the other side of surrender. There's value. There's transformation. Everybody just stand up with me. Everybody in here has a cup. Everybody has a cup. And we have to choose, are we gonna choose, God, to surrender your way? Are we gonna choose to keep surrendering? Because I feel in my spirit in the room, some of you are listening to me right now and saying, Angela, you don't get it. I've already surrendered a lot. And you probably have. But I just want to tell you today that God has another cup in front of you. And I don't know what that cup is for you, but if you can get through it, what's on the other side of that surrender is going to change your life. It's going to get you to your purpose and your assignment. It's going to get you to that place of healing. It's going to get you to that place of freedom. But what if the other person doesn't do it? What if they don't drink their cup? That's not your responsibility. It's your responsibility to surrender what God is asking of you. So God, right now, I thank you for your presence in the room. Jesus, first of all, we come with such grateful hearts that you drank the cup and that you surrendered and that you went to the cross and you gave it all. You're not asking any of us in this room to get up on a cross. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for even in your humanity being willing to sacrifice and surrender your entire life so that all of us could stand in this room and call you Lord. That all of us would be able to know that on the other side we have eternal life. That was your surrender. And I just want to take a minute and say thank you, Jesus. Because without your surrender, none of this matters anyway. Remind us of that today, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus. Maybe he's not Lord of your life, or maybe you have, but you've been doing your own thing, your own way. If that's you today, I want to invite you to come up here first so that you can experience that surrender to the Savior moment. If there's anybody in the room, you don't know Jesus, maybe, like I said, maybe you do know him, but you've been living with some sin and some stuff in your life that you need to get rid of, I'm going to ask you first if you want to surrender it to meet me up here. And I want to pray with you. If there's anybody in the room, Jesus, I need to know you. I want you to be Lord of my life. Anybody in the room? I want to surrender my sin. I want to surrender my situation. I want to surrender those things that I've been holding in my heart that I've been making myself the Lord of them. Anybody at all? I'm going to assume everybody in the room knows Jesus. So now I want to ask, what is the cup in front of you that you've got to surrender? What is the cup in front of you that you've got to surrender? Angela, this is so heavy. It's okay. Surrender is heavy. It's okay. Because on the other side, there's joy and there's light and there's freedom and there's hope. There's answers, there's solutions. So I don't know what it is for you, but whatever that is, I just believe if you will make your way out of your seat and you will come up here and say, God, today I'm going to surrender that thing. Today I'm going to drink that cup. Today, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to choose. I've been doing it my way. I've been holding on. If that's you, make your way out of your seat and come up, and we're going to surrender as a church today. Come on, I know it's quiet. I know it's heavy. I'm going to give everybody a minute. Listen, surrender is hard. Jesus was sweating drops of blood, the amount of stress in his actual physical body that was coming out in the place of surrender. Come on, there's more of us in the room. There's more of us in the room. Come on, what is it for you? There's some people in the room right now, you've still been holding on to some bitterness and unforgiveness, and I'm telling you, you've got to drink the cup of surrender in that situation. You've got to surrender that person. You've got to surrender that circumstance that happened. It doesn't matter if you were right and they were wrong. That has nothing to do with it. It's about surrendering it and letting it go today. It's about letting it go. It's about releasing it in the atmosphere of the presence of God. It's about saying, God, I'm going to get up and I'm going to give this thing up to you. Surrender is nothing more than giving up. I give it up to you. I give it up to you, God. I'm not going to try to control it anymore. I'm not going to let it torment me anymore. I'm not going to live in this anymore. I'm not going to let this thing come and try to take over my life so I can't move forward. Today I surrender. Today I surrender. What is your cup? What is your cup? What is your cup? Everybody in here has a cup. Not my will, but your will, Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will. Come on, I want somebody to come and stand with every one of these people up here. Begin to pray. I release the angels of heaven to come in this room right now. God, I open up the heavens and the supernatural. God, I pray that even as we stand alongside these people and we begin to pray and we agree, God, in the place of surrender, but I pray, God, that angels and the Holy Spirit are going to follow them home today. They're going to be in their car. They're going to be in their bedroom. They're going to be in every place, God, that they walk. And God, that the supernatural presence, God, of who you are is going to surround them and strengthen them to walk out surrender, to walk out a place of surrender in their life, God, because what's on the other side is so great. We release it today. We give it up to you. We let go. Come on, some of you need to say a person's name. You need to say a situation. Just say, I give so-and-so to you, God. I give this thing to you, God. God, I give this to you. I let go of it. You need to see yourself letting go of it in the Spirit. Come on, let go of it. Let go of it. Let go of it. Surrender it right now. We surrender it. We surrender it. We surrender it. Come on, if you're at your seats, come on, just begin to ask the Lord right now. God, if there's anything in me, God, I just pray for your will to be done in my life. God, I pray that your will would come in my life. Bring heaven to earth in my life right now. Come on, if you're at your seat, begin to pray that for your life, for your family, for your job, for your school, for whatever it is that you have. We surrender, we surrender, we surrender, Jesus. I surrender. We give it all, we give it all, we give it all, God. Help us and strengthen us, God, with the grace to give it all. I surrender. Come on, let's just declare that. Come on, there's power in surrender today. I surrender. God, I give it all.